Well, the Collective Cast is the official podcast of the Reform Collective. Views expressed by the hosts and guests do not necessarily represent or the collective as a whole.
The gospel is the power of God for salvation. God foreknows, predestines, calls, justifies, glorifies, but he will not lose them. That's the promise.
No Christian should walk with a judgmental swagger because we did not work out our own salvation. It was given by a God of compassion and mercy.
Hey, I'd like to welcome everybody to our show tonight. Go ahead and get your Bibles out. Get ready to flip through the passages. But let me tell you a little bit about the show. This is Reform Collective with biblical perspectives. This show is necessary because folks have gotten reckless with agendas, twisting scriptures, ignoring the glory that we find in Christ's redemption. Bad doctrine, we refute it. We'll exegete the text with the proper hermeneutic, systematic context, truth and love. That's how we do it. And now to Josh and Jason. Welcome to the modern Reformation.
We need to deliver ourselves from the bondage of prayerless praying and learn to take up, as the Reformers and Puritans did, their mantle of prayer and dependency on the Holy Spirit, and storm the mercy seat and take the kingdom of heaven by violence, for the violent take it by force.
Welcome to the Collective Cast. I'm Jason.
And I'm Josh.
And this is where we talk about Reformed writing, podcasting, culture, and books.
And just about anything we want.
Yeah, but in this time, it's about a book, right?
Of course.
Perfect.
It is okay. About a book.
But we'll talk about that book in a second. Josh, what are you up to tonight?
I just got done. You know what? I just got done with my run, and I'm kind of soaked in sweat right now. But I didn't have time to take a shower before Jason and I scheduled.
What up? 6:45 every Tuesday. What up?
Yep. And I thought I could get done in time. Maybe one day I'll be able to get done in time. That means I will improve my run time, but I was not able to today.
How long did you run today?
I only ran 3 miles today.
Aren't you glad we're both on CST now? Remember how hard it was when you were on Pacific time?
In California.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think we had started the podcast yet, but just doing Reform Collective stuff when you were on Pacific time was brutal.
It was tough because we would still do like hangouts and things like that.
Yeah.
Remember we used to do hangouts with like writers and stuff.
Yeah. We'll be able to start that back up pretty soon.
Yeah. And then I started missing all of them and then everybody stopped doing them. So it'd be cool to start that again.
Yeah, that would be. And I think that'll, people are starting to really pick back up on writing. So
I think it'd be really cool if we could replace church with those meetings.
Oh, absolutely. You know, just no Sunday morning gathering. Just come and hang out with your favorite Reformed Collective guys. We'll serve communion. We'll ship it to you every week.
Exactly. It'll be like the Bitcoin of communion. You get it
virtually.
You log in. Yeah.
Oh. I'm actually waiting for the day that we have like those food synthesizers that like can make a food out of like anything, you know, like on I don't even know that.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean. Like, do they have it on the Jetsons and stuff like that where it was like hologram food, but it turned into real food?
Yeah, essentially that kind of thing. And
it's like a little microwave that just made food appear in there, whatever you want.
Yeah, and I can like on Spy Kids. Remember Spy Kids?
Yeah, Spy Kids.
Yeah. So I would love if like I could type in and like pay $5 for a cheeseburger and then like it come out of my food synthesizer from McDonald's or something.
Right. And then you just sit here in the comfort of your own home or apartment or room or wherever you live, and you just have an endless supply of food at your disposal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, but you have to make an income.
But you have to make an income because you have to pay for it still. Yeah. Maybe you could set it up to where it's like Spotify, where you just pay a flat monthly premium and you just get whatever you want anytime.
Okay.
Kind of like you get whatever music you want. Whatever music you want, you get anytime you want it on demand, and you only pay $9.99 a month. You do the same thing with this food synthesizer. Synthesized food. So wait a minute. Is it producing? It's not really producing the real thing, but just like synthetic. It's not real food.
No, like we find a way at a chemistry level, and I know this is impossible, but we find a way at a chemistry level to actually be able to build that actual food from a molecular level up out of like just a base food synthesizer. So you're making a cheeseburger, not like sludge that looks and tastes like a cheeseburger. It's a real cheeseburger.
Well, Jason, I noticed you said this is impossible, but given naturalism, it's not impossible.
You know? Oh, yeah, you're right. I mean, just
really,
give it a few million years and you'll be good.
Yeah, anything's possible. Just incorporate time into your equation.
Time and more time. And then if time doesn't work, just more time.
Yeah. I was told by a guy today that actually, given enough time, chance would produce something. There's that.
Yeah, it would produce more chance.
Yeah.
He's not wrong.
Yeah.
Chaos produces more chaos.
Anyways,
hey, whoa, I look up, I know this is probably just a little coincidence, but I looked at the recording time and right when we stopped talking, it was at 4:20. So, you know, that's for all the hippies that are listening right now.
Yeah, dude, this is cool, man.
There's probably two or three of them. Yeah. All right. Yeah, anyway, so we're gonna talk about something today. moving on from the weed talk.
Reformed.
What are we talking about today?
We are talking about a new book that I am I'm enjoying very much. I just started it not too long ago. I'm in chapter 5 now of it, but it is by Sinclair Ferguson. And if you've ever read any Sinclair Ferguson stuff, you know that he's a great writer, and you know that. His content is usually substantive and worthwhile, and he is the same thing is can be said about this book. It's called Some Pastors and Teachers, and last I checked, it was out of stock on Amazon, but it's still available on Banner of Truth. But I would encourage everyone to pick up a copy if they're able. It is beefy. It's a big book. It's actually a compilation of things that he's already written, so it's like 800 pages worth of essays and things that he's written throughout his ministry, and basically his line of thinking according to his introduction was that, you know, he could put all this together. It kind of characterizes his ministry in a sense, and everything that, you know, he's written on this topic, which is a lot. Kind of comes together in this nice, orderly, I guess, compilation of essays about pastors and teachers and what they're called to be. Actually, the subtitle is Reflecting a Biblical Vision of What Every Minister is Called to Be. And so he starts it out with three chapters, and it's three chapters on three Johns. Three different men, all named John, and those Johns are John Calvin, John Owen, and John Murray. And I think, you know, there's value in books like this, and of course with Banner of Truth and their kind of mission in publishing is to produce works that will not necessarily gross the highest income as far as how much they sell. But books that will be read for years and years and years to come by people who are interested, by people who are invested in, by people who want to learn more about their faith. And so usually what Banner of Truth produces or reproduces is substantive and good. But anyways, this book is aimed at not only a historical, theological kind of enlightening, if you will, but it uses those means and some others to really serve as a devotional resource for pastors and teachers, and it's really good. I think everybody who's desiring the ministry or everyone who is in the ministry should take a look at it, get it out of the library or something like that, and read through it. But it's probably good just to have a copy of it around the house.
Just to give people a little bit more of a in-depth view, do you mind if I read a little bit of the book description for Banner of Truth? All right, so the book description on Banner of Truth goes, Some Pastors and Teachers, you know, the name of the book, is a volume for every minister's study and indeed for the bookshelves and bedside tables of everyone who has a concern for the ministry of the gospel and the well-being of the church in the 21st century. In many ways, it reflects the biblical vision of what every minister is called to be, pastor, teacher, counselor, an example, but also a man who is growing spiritually, both in understanding and in character before the eyes of his congregation. I really like how they made it specifically known that it not only is it about the gospel and about ministry, but it is about a contextualized insertion of his works. So it's not just about the well-being of the church in history or the ministry of the gospel in history, but specifically pertains to what we're looking at in the 21st century.
Right. Yeah. And that goes right into, I kind of jotted down three things about this book, kind of saying why is it valuable? And I think, a lot of part of the church, at least, has lost a historical perspective on the Christian faith in general. So like today in our meeting at the church I work for, we were talking about how evangelicalism has been largely detached from its lineage, its family lineage, you could say, even because for 2,000 years, the church, or the Holy Spirit rather, has been at work in the church. And so just to ask the question, what has my family been doing for the last 2,000 years? And that question will drive you to study church history. And so one of the things that Ferguson does is draw out some historical facts which pertain to these guys' lives, Calvin, Owen, and Murray, which really show how God worked through them and strengthened them so that they would be a mighty tool for the kingdom of God and for the proclamation of the gospel. He used them in such a way so as to cause us to look back at men like that and say, well, you know, this is the self-sacrificial life that's actually described in Scripture being personified in these men. And, we can look back at other men as well. I mean, Paul, for instance, was largely physically speaking, a broken little man. I mean, we have good reason to think that he wasn't that big in stature physically. And he records that he was stoned. Actually, Luke records that he was stoned. He was shipwrecked. I mean, he went through all of these things and consistently he was zealous for the proclamation, zealous for the glory of God and the proclamation of the gospel. And so that's one of the things. It gives us a point of reference as the modern church to look back and say, these are some of the things that characterize these guys' lives. And being consistent with the proverb to take advice from those who have gone before us and our elders, those who are more wise than we are, it's really good to be able to look back and be kind of encouraged in that sense, encouraged by other people's lives and actions in the guarding and the proclaiming of the gospel. A second point of value that this book gives is pastoral insight. It talks about how on the outside, Calvin, for instance, was very he could be taken as a very rough-edged individual. He had times where he would lose his temper. He was sickly. He kept largely to himself. He rarely ever shared his heart with anybody. And he was kind of a recluse, especially at first, and really just wanted to kind of, be in a room with his books and feed his mind until Pharrell confronted him and told him that God would curse him if he didn't labor in Geneva with him. And even then he still had a desire just to retreat to his study and just read his books rather than be proactive in the ministry. And so that kind of shows some of his besetting sin and just wanting to not really share the wealth of information that he's retaining from scripture and from all the research he did in writing his commentaries and the institutes and things like that.
Yeah.
And so we can glean a lot from that. But what Ferguson does is he also shows how in his letters, Calvin, rarely does he do this, but when he does do it, it's very, touching. Because he shares his heart with his friends. One instance, or he'll share his heart when in hardships. For instance, he was only married to his wife Idolette for 9 years before she passed away, and he wrote very briefly, but he wrote something to the effect of, "She was my very best helper in ministry," and you know the pain that was poured out into those very short words. Was something that we can't relate to a whole lot, but in light of the pain that Calvin experienced, just Calvin, losing his wife prematurely, having several different health conditions, kidney stones, things of that nature that just made things very painful for him before modern medicine, and to see how even in the midst of those things, he continued on working for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of Jesus Christ, is just an encouragement. It should be an encouragement to all of us. It should give us some sort of reference point for when we think that things have gotten too hard. Because rarely do any of us go through some of these things, living in this day and age of comfort and modern, advances in technology, at least here in the Western world, bringing historical facts out like this about certain individuals really helps us to understand that, the Christian story, is a lot bigger than we are. And, the glory of the gospel is a lot more important than our preferences, more important than our comforts and things of that nature.
Amen. I hope that the readings of the Puritans and men like John Calvin and John Owen can help us see that more. Can help us see that these theological heroes that we have were just other counselors, pastors, authors, theologians that had their physical sufferings and their trials in life as well. It's not just somebody that we read on a page, but he was a man that was, if he had a podcast mic, he probably would have been on a podcast like us, just to kind of contextualize, what it'd be like if they were here at the same time with us. They didn't quite understand what cancer was, but I'm sure they know what it was when their loved ones died of whatever disease they called it or whatever they thought it was. So anyways, we'll talk a little bit more about this and possibly even read a section from the book when we get back from the break.
This episode of The Collective Cast is sponsored by 110 Marketing. 110 Marketing specializes in social media management and advertising, web design, and email marketing. Adam and Dustin can help you and your business improve your reach via Facebook ads, online reviews, and even podcast help. Go to 110marketing.com for your personal and business marketing needs. That's 110marketing.com.
Welcome back to The Collective Cast, the podcast where we talk about smart stuff sometimes without the requisite knowledge. That was a little tag added by David a couple weeks ago, and I thought that'd be good. The podcast where we talk about smart stuff sometimes is pretty great, and then just add on without the requisite knowledge. It keeps us humble, So anyways, before the break, we were talking about all the various things that men like John Calvin went through in their lives as pastor, author, theologians. And you wanted to read a portion of Sinclair Ferguson's book, correct?
Yes.
Right. Read it to us, Josh. Read it
to
us.
So the two first points that I covered was a point of reference. This book gives us a point of reference. It and then it gives us historical perspective as modern day Christians. It also gives us pastoral insight, which is why it's a good book for anyone desiring the ministry to read, for pastors or professors at seminaries, for that matter. Thirdly, it gives us instructional insight, which, just like I said, for professors, for people who want to teach. So the third John that Ferguson writes about is John Murray. And I have read a little bit about John Murray, or I've read a little bit of his writing, The Christian Doctrine of Baptism. He was wrong. But
yeah,
but I say that with love. But
also in truth.
Yes. I have listened to him. There's still some audio clips out there of some of his lectures. Excellent, excellent stuff. He was such a great teacher. But I didn't know a whole lot about his actual biographical life, about his life in general. So Ferguson writes this, and this will kind of just contextualize his ministry. He says, educated locally at Bonner Bridge Primary School and then at Door Knock Academy, John Murray enlisted towards the end of World War I, April 1917, in the Royal Highlanders, also called the Black Watch. Serving in France in 1918, he was struck by shrapnel during the last German offensive and permanently lost sight in his right eye. Honorably discharged, he entered the University of Glasgow the following year and graduated with a Master of Arts in 1923. And so, you don't normally picture these theologians, these great theologians, or who we think of as these great theologians, coming from a background like that, especially John Murray, with his kind of disposition, the kind of disposition that he had. But you read a little bit more into his life and you find out that, and this goes for anyone, any theologian that we look up to now, God called them out of a particular set of circumstances. And this is one of those, and it kind of resonated with me, even though I don't have an experience like that. But coming out of the military, him and I share a similar testimony. But he goes straight into he goes to train at a theological seminary later on after that, obviously, and became who he was. So he would always, students would always ask him which eye is the real one, because he had a glass eye. After he was struck with shrapnel, and he would answer, it's the one with the twinkle. And so that just kind of shows his character. But yeah, all of the things that these guys have in common is that they endured particular hardships that were part of their personal lives. And no matter or notwithstanding the difficulties that they encountered, God pulled them through it providentially and did great things in their ministries. They produced works that have encouraged the church since they've been dead, and they'll continue to do so. That's just a little bit about this book. There are a lot of other things I could say, and I'm only on chapter 5 out of many. And so there'll be more that I can say about it later, but it's definitely worth your time. And it's one of those books, by the way, where you don't have to read it in a from chapter 1 2 3 4. You don't have to read it in any sort of an order. Even Ferguson says that you can keep coming back to it and jump into certain parts. It's constructed that way. It's a compilation of different essays on people or ministries, So it's easy to jump in and out of. You don't have to read it all the way through. And for that reason, it's just a good volume to have on your bedstand, kind of like the description said.
Mm. Yeah, it seems to me like it's one of those works that is less of a get this now and read through it, and it's more of get this now and read the pertaining parts as it comes up.
Yeah.
Very much like a systematic theology, only for pastoral theology instead of systematic.
Yeah. It goes through, and the table of contents is super clear, so it's easy to find your way around it. It's good stuff. I could talk about Owen, which is actually another one. Had 11 children, I think, and only one made it to adulthood.
Oh my gosh, I remember hearing that. That's going to be
just
awful.
These things have to encourage you to some extent. I mean, it's so awful to think about those things, but then to think about their react. They didn't just like quit the ministry. You know, it's like sometimes traumatic things happen to us. We become downcast, or we want to just step out and stop. And it's okay to stop for a season, but God will sustain. And this is proof of it. There's so many men, more than just these three Johns, throughout the last 2,000 years of church history, who have fought the good fight and have finished the race, just as Paul did, by the power of the Spirit alone. And I think that's probably what it goes to show the most, is that any man by himself would not continue to do the things that these men did if it was just these men by themselves.
Yeah.
Spurgeon, one time he remarked that it's not just me working. It's there's two of us working. It wasn't just Spurgeon that was working. It wasn't just Spurgeon that was producing the insane amount of work that you can now go to the library and see that he produced. It was two. It was Spurgeon, and it was the power of the Holy Spirit in him, working and sustaining. So, being able to rely on God, by the power of His Spirit, being motivated by Christ, His work, and the benefits He's procured for us in His work, and the fact that we are being conformed to His image, is a huge thing for ministry. It's huge. Yeah. Huge.
Huge. Oh, we get a full circle of Trump. I'm so happy. I'm so happy that we went from pastoral theology and the lives of these men, and now they touched Ferguson and us. And now we get back to Trump, the world's most politically correct president. So, yes, indeed. All right. So if you want to read this book, which sounds to me like Josh really wants you to, and I'm actually going to end up getting this book as well. I've actually read a few excerpts from it that I've been sent, and I've liked what I've seen. So anyways, go and get Some Pastors and Teachers Reflecting a Biblical Vision of What Every Minister is Called to Be by Sinclair Ferguson on banneroftruth.org. It's $40.50. On sale from $45 for the 800 pages that you get in almost 3 pounds worth of book. It's definitely worth it. Definitely worth it. Thanks for listening to the show this time, you guys. If you liked anything we talked about, or even just put up with us, head over to reformcollective.com, where you can find a bunch of writing, and you can find our other podcast episodes, and you can find lots of other stuff. Well, really just writing in our podcast. Nothing really that fancy. Find us up on Facebook at facebook.com/reformcollective. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at refcollect. That's refcollect. All right. Tell your friends about the show if you enjoyed it. And if you hated it, blame Josh. Look us up on iTunes and give us a 5-star review. If you're lying, that's okay. We'll let it go this time. Support us on Patreon by going to patreon.com/collectivecast. Josh and his wife have a baby on the way, and if you don't give us Patreon money, they're going to starve. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.